Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. We've been talking all of this week, and actually 2 weeks now, last week and this week, about what I call spirit, soul, and body. And this is a teaching or a truth that God revealed to me that has just transformed my life. And basically, I've shared a lot of scriptures this week, Ephesians 4:24, that this new born-again part of us was created in righteousness and true holiness. 1 John 4:17, as Jesus is, so are we in this world, not in the world to come, but right now. The only way to understand that is it has to be talking about our spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And the word for one there in the Greek is talking about identical. We have become identical in spirit to Jesus because according as Galatians 4, I believe verse 6 says that it is the spirit of his son sent into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. We've talked about 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, that this spirit cannot sin, that we have been completely changed. And on our program yesterday, I began to make this point. Some people see these truths, but they say, yes, that was true the moment I got born again, but you don't understand. I've sinned. Either one huge sin that has just brought you under so much condemnation, you wonder about, can God ever get over this? Or maybe it's just been consistently little sins, just failing in all areas of your life. And over a period of time, you become sin conscious. And you say that, you know, that purity, that holiness, that right standing I had with God, the moment I got born again, and I was completely brand new, I've lost that because I've continued to sin. But I started sharing this out of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 on our program yesterday. It says, once you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You were vacuum packed. The Lord sealed you. And remember John 4:24, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Why must we worship God in spirit and in truth? Because your spirit is the only part of you that has been sanctified and perfected and cleaned so that it is worthy to come into the presence of God. In your physical body, you are not worthy to relate to God based on your actions and just your thoughts. But in your born-again spirit, God put within you a totally clean, pure, holy spirit that is as clean and pure as Jesus is. In the Spirit, you have just as much right to walk up to God and fellowship with Him as the Lord Jesus does because you have been given the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you do have the Spirit of Christ living on the inside of you. And this scripture from Ephesians 1:13, that you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, is so important to me. Because it means that this isn't something that God gave me and then I just mess it up again. You know, if all salvation was that God forgives you of your sins up until a point and now you're kind of cleaned up, He stands you up, points you in the right direction, winds you up and lets you go and see if you can do it better this time. If that's all there was to salvation, well then I and you would blow it the second time just as much as we did the first time. That's not what it is. When you get born again, it's not God just now trying to get you to do it better than you did before you got born again. No, you are completely changed on the inside, and that spirit will never fluctuate. It is now sanctified and perfected forever. Let me turn over to the book of Hebrews and explain this. For those of you who watch my program on a regular basis, I taught on this not too long ago. And some people might think, well, you're repeating some of that teaching. But you know what? It needs to be repeated. This is something that most people don't understand. And so I've heard it hundreds, thousands of times. I don't know how many times I've taught on this. And you know what? I still get blessed every time I hear this. And so this is just a logical progression. You got born again and you were given a spirit that was created in righteousness and true holiness. It was sealed with the Holy Spirit. So that when you sin, that sin doesn't penetrate the seal around your spirit, your spirit still retains its holiness in the sight of God because God is a spirit and He looks at you in the spirit. And here are some tremendous truths that go along with this. Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 12, it says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Now, I'm going to go into more explanation, and I'm not going to finish all of this today, so we're going to go into this teaching about eternal redemption even in the next week's broadcast. But let me just say some things here, and then I'll explain it more as we go on into this next week. But this is saying that He entered in once into the holy place and bought eternal redemption for you. The word redemption, according to Ephesians chapter 1, it means the forgiveness of your sins. That is, the forgiveness of your sins is what it's talking about. So the Lord here bought eternal forgiveness of sins. Did you know that most Christians don't have that concept? Most Christians believe that when they made Jesus their Lord and got born again, they were forgiven of past sins. But then every sin that they commit after their salvation experience has to be repented of and confessed individually to be forgiven. And some people, there's two variations on this. Some people will say that if you don't get every sin confessed and under the blood, even after you're born again, then you can't enter into heaven with any unconfessed sin. And so you could have walked with the Lord for 20 or 30 years, and yet if you sin and don't get it confessed, you would die and go to hell. So that's the extreme interpretation. A lesser interpretation, but still imputing sin unto you, is that you still have to confess your sin, and you won't go to hell for every sin. As long as they aren't big ones, you could have a lot of unconfessed sins in your life and you'd still go to heaven, but it's going to hurt you, and that God won't fellowship with you and God won't answer your prayers and things like that. That's a lesser punishment or lesser interpretation of the same doctrine as the people who believe you lose your salvation if there's any unconfessed sin in your life. And let me just say, I've already taught on this. I'm not going to go into as much depth as I did before. But let me just say that that is impossible to administer. I don't know if you've really thought about this, but if it is dependent, if your salvation is dependent upon you confessing every sin and getting it under the blood and atoned for after you're born again, then I guarantee you, you're never going to make it. Because sin is not only the major things we do wrong, sin is what we're failing to do right. And every one of us are failing to do things. We aren't praying as much as we should. We don't love other people. We aren't thinking about other people. We don't intercede. We get caught up in our own self. We don't study the Word. We don't pray. We don't do anything exactly the way that we should. It's the nature of fallen human beings to be incomplete and not perfect. Nobody is doing anything perfectly. You know, I've been walking with the Lord for 40 years. I've been born again for 50 years. But I have been walking with the Lord strong for 40 years, and I'm doing better than I've ever done. And I help people, and there's good things happening. But you know what? I guarantee you, I am not the person that I need to be. I still don't do everything perfectly. I still am more concerned with myself and more focused on myself than I am other people. There's just, you know, if I was to get down on myself, I could get down on myself easy. My point is that, you know what, nobody, I don't care who you are, is going to do everything perfectly, and we don't even recognize some of the things that we are doing wrong. So if our salvation was dependent upon us doing everything perfectly or making sure we get it confessed and repented of for our salvation to last, nobody would ever make it. If I really believe that, then the moment you got born again, I'd just kill you. I might go to hell, but that's the only way you'd ever get to heaven, is for somebody to kill you that moment before you had time to mess it up. Because if it's dependent upon you confessing every single thing, you aren't going to do it. That is impossible to live, that doctrine. And yet there's a lot of people that live that kind of doctrine. And let me say to all of those who believe that you don't go to hell if you have an unconfessed sin, but that you can't get any joy or peace or God won't answer your prayers or things like this, well, then that also is impossible to administer. Because again, just like the extreme version I was talking about, you aren't going to do everything right. This is saying, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And again, Ephesians 1:7 says redemption is the forgiveness of our sins. He obtained eternal redemption, eternal forgiveness of sins. The Lord didn't just forgive you of your sins up until the point that you got born again, but God forgave you of past, present, and even future sins that you haven't committed yet. God forgave all of the sins of the entire world, not only of Christians, not only of people who He knew would someday accept Him, but the Lord has forgiven the sins of the whole world. Over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it says that. It says, He is the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means atoning sacrifice. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Did you know the sins of the unbelievers have been paid for? They aren't going to go to hell for their individual actions of sins. According to John chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, it says that the Lord is going to send the Holy Spirit, and He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then in verse 9, it tells you the sin that the Holy Spirit's going to convict of. The sin because they believe not on Me. The only sin that the Holy Spirit is really convicting of is the sin of not believing on Jesus. It's not our individual actions of sin that are sending people to hell, because Jesus paid for all of those. Again, 1 John 2, 2, He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus has already purchased with one sacrifice the forgiveness of the sins of the entire world. Sins, individual actions of sin, aren't the problem. So what is the problem? Have you accepted Jesus as the payment for your sins? Or are you trying to pay for your own sins through behavior modification and promising that you'll be better, trying to be a good person? See, Jesus has already paid for all these individual actions of sins, and now the only thing that a person really is going to be held accountable for is, have you made Jesus your personal Lord? Have you received salvation through Jesus? Are you trusting Jesus' death and punishment for your sins to produce right standing between you and God? Or are you trusting in your own goodness? That's the only thing that's the issue. The Holy Spirit is convicting of one sin, the sin of not believing on Jesus. So Jesus has already forgiven all of your sins, past, present, and future sins. This just knocks in the head this doctrine that every single time you sin, you lose your right standing with God and you are back out of fellowship with God, either totally out of relationship or out of fellowship. And I know somebody saying, well, what about 1 John 1:9? You know what? I'm talking as fast as I can. I'm not going to get to it today. I wouldn't be able to do it justice today. But on our programs next week, I am going to talk about the reason why we confess our sins and turn from them. But it is not for the purpose of this spirit being forgiven. Again, I say that when you got born again, your spirit was created in righteousness and true holiness. Then it's vacuum packed. Your spirit cannot sin. Your spirit doesn't sin after you get born again. And God is a spirit. John 4:24, He looks at you in the spirit, and God deals with you based on who you are in the spirit. But you can sin, and you do sin in your physical body and in your soulish realm, in your mental, emotional part of you. And when you do open up a door to the devil, well, then yes, there is a place to turn from that and just shut that door and to get the devil that you have invited in to expel him out of your life. And so you do confess and turn from that sin, but not for the purpose of your relationship with God. Your relationship with God is sealed and is sure based on your profession of Jesus as your Lord. And when that happens, your spirit is born again, and it retains that born-again nature. As this says, you have received eternal redemption. As a whole, the body of Christ today does not believe in eternal redemption. They believe in momentary redemption. Redemption until the next time that you sin, and then you got to get that sin confessed and under the blood. And so it's just a moment-by-moment redemption. But this says that He has purchased for us eternal redemption. In verse 15, it says, "And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Again, this is a concept that is foreign to a lot of Christians. A lot of Christians believe that they only have an inheritance until the next time they sin. And then, depending on how they respond, they could either lose their inheritance, or if they'll repent, then they get it back and they get born again. And they're just constantly in a state of flux. They are in and out of relationship with God. This says you get eternal inheritance. You know, if words mean anything, which I think they do, and the Bible is using these words, we have eternal redemption, forgiveness of sins. We have eternal inheritance. And if you were to take this in its context, I wished I had time to just sit down with you and put all of this into its context. That's the reason that I promote all of these products, because they go into much more detail than what I'm able to do here on television. But if I was able to sit down, the whole book of Hebrews is contrasting the way it was done under the first covenant, the covenant with the Jews, the Old Testament law. And it's saying that those things now have passed away and God has a brand new way of relating to us. And it's contrasting the way things were done under the Old Covenant and the way they're done under the New Covenant. And in the Old Covenant, they used to offer a sacrifice. Every time you sinned, you had to bring a new sacrifice and make an atonement for your sin. And there was just constant flowing of blood. And the reason is because there wasn't a real sacrifice. The animal sacrifices were only types and shadows of what Jesus was going to do. But it was impossible that an animal's blood could ever redeem me from my sins. They were types and shadows. And so it was appropriate in the Old Testament to do this over and over, because the type and the shadow needed to be maintained and held constantly in front of us. But now that Jesus has come, Jesus isn't a type and shadow of anything. Jesus is the real deal. Jesus bought eternal redemption for us. One sacrifice produced eternal redemption. It also produced eternal inheritance. Hebrews 9, verses 12 and 15. And the whole contrast of the book of Hebrews is showing you that we have a better covenant, a better way of relating to God. And one of the things about it that's better is that we don't have to go to God every time you sin and feel like that God is angry at you, upset. He's going to withdraw from you either through fellowship or relationship. He might just kick you out of the entire body of Christ and you got to repent and be born again. There is no such thing in the Bible as being born again. It's just born again. You're just born once. You are born flesh of the flesh once. You are born of the Spirit once. You aren't born again and then lose it and then in and out and in and out. It's eternal redemption. It's eternal inheritance. And the point that he's making is that we don't have to go to God every time and feel like that our failures, our transgressions are something brand new between us and God. God knew the moment that you accepted Him of everything you would ever do throughout your entire life. And Jesus has already paid for those sins, even the ones you haven't committed. And I know somebody's screaming right now and saying, "How could God forgive a sin that you haven't committed yet?" Well, you better hope He can, because He only died for your sins one time 2,000 years ago. If Jesus didn't pay for your sins when He died 2,000 years ago, then your sins didn't get paid for. He's not in heaven taking people's sins and suffering for your sins now. He's already done this. He paid for sins in advance, sins that hadn't even been committed. You and I hadn't been born. We hadn't committed any of our sins when Jesus died, and yet He took my sins into His own body on the tree. 1 Peter 2:24. My sins that I hadn't even been born yet. I hadn't even committed them yet. But somehow, I don't know how God does this, God was able to deal with what I would do, not only up until the point that I got born again, but through everything I'll ever do throughout my entire life. God took those sins and placed them upon Jesus, and Jesus paid for my sins and redeemed me to God eternally, gave me eternal inheritance. Boy, that's powerful. I tell you, this has transformed my life. Somebody says, yeah, it just allows you to go sin. It's just the opposite. You know what? This has caused me to serve God. You know, I praise God that He's given me the privilege of preaching this, but one of the reasons that I'm excited about me having this is because you can't look at me and say I'm teaching these things so that I can justify sin. I live holier than nearly any person watching this program. If you were just to look at my actions and compare them with most people's actions, I'm seeking God more, studying the Word more, I'm doing more things. Now, I don't say that to brag on myself or to boast or to say that God owes me something. I'm just saying that this does not cause me to go live in sin. The Bible says Titus chapter 2, verse 11, that the grace of God has appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. The grace of God will teach you to live holy. You know, I'm out of time today, but I would like to encourage you to get these materials. So please listen as our announcer gives you that information. I'm going to continue this teaching on spirit, soul, and body next Monday. So join me then as we continue the gospel truth.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Spirit, Soul, and Body is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, Spirit, Soul, and Body is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. The second audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled Eternal Redemption, free of charge. A condensed version of Spirit, Soul, and Body is also included in Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. This valuable book contains abbreviated versions of 16 of Andrew's most foundational teachings. It's available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 4th through the 6th, in Tinley Park, Illinois, Sunday, August 7th, and in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 25th through the 27th. He'll also be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 11th through the 16th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 17th and 18th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 3rd through the 7th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
He put the same power on the inside of you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You have to stand up and you have to speak it and you have to release this. When you meditate in the Word day and night, the Word rises up on the inside of you and then you make your way prosperous.
Join Andrew Womack for the Chicago, Illinois Gospel Truth Seminar, August 4th through the 6th. Log on to awmi.net for more information.
It is not enough for you to have need. Need doesn't motivate God. God is motivated by His own love to meet our needs, and His power is available. But the thing that will release or appropriate this power of God is faith.
I had grown up with God puts us through things to make us stronger people. You get healed if it's God's will. And if you don't get healed, then He wants you to go through it.
Listening to things that people said, like, you know, God's trying to teach you something. He doesn't heal everybody, He heals some people.
I heard people talking at church about, you know, God had a different plan and God made me sick.
The way I was raised, God would get you.
I felt like God had punished me.
The church I grew up in was big on just performance.
I was such a law-based, legalistic person and didn't even know it.
Really devastated with legalism.
I was operating in a law mindset. I had a law perspective.
Always being focused on the law.
Deep into religion.
I grew up in church.
I was raised in church.
A denomination that was very legalistic.
I came from a Baptist background.
I'm come from a Catholic.
I was raised a preacher's kid.
I was a missionary kid, grew up on the mission field, taught the Bible my whole life, got saved at 4 years old.
And I had been in and out of church since I was 5 years old.
I was saved when I was 8, and I was saved just to stay out of hell.
Saved and stuck.
Until we heard about Andrew Womack, and he began to explain.
And Andrew just countered all of that with the Bible.
No one had ever explained those scriptures so beautifully.
It's just made me over on the inside. I'm totally different. I'm a different person.
And when I finally seen the truth, it was awesome. And it still to this day is just amazing.
His teaching was freeing.
It grabbed my heart because I had never heard that our sins were not imputed to us, not put to our account.
This makes sense. The Bible makes sense to me. And He's ringing true to what I'm reading in the Bible.
You didn't have to perform in order to gain a relationship with God, that He loved you.
It took the religion out of it and made it all about relationship.
And then everything you've studied for your whole life, all of a sudden it comes into sync. It's like, pow.
The Spirit came over me and just went, whoop, and it all lined up.
That clicked, and all of a sudden things became so real and so understandable.
And you get this revelation on the inside of you.
And I wept. I sat on the side of the road and I wept.
All of a sudden, the Bible made sense.
And now, I live in the blessings of God.
My life just changed, and it changed for the better.
Life has just gotten better and better.
Life is good when you have hope.
And God is just good.
We have a life now that we've never had before in every area.
What I found was victory, where we didn't have any before.
I really am grateful that He submitted to the Lord, because I'm reaping the results of it.